Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 64 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Jonathan Burton.
All of our loved ones provided a certain dedication to MSU.
Homecoming festivities began this morning at Moorhead State University with the Memorial Brick Ceremony.
The City of Moorhead's new website went live this week.
A new state-run prison will open next year in Floyd County.
Open enrollment began this week for state and private insurance companies.
GOP leaders say gambling in Kentucky won't pass the legislature.
In sports, Moorhead State hosts Butler for the 2019 homecoming game tomorrow.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Mostly clear skies tonight with a low around 39. We'll have a look at your region's extended forecast after this news.
Moorhead State University held its annual Memorial Brick Dedication Ceremony today. The event serves as a way to recognize and honor former Moorhead State University employees. Names of the employees and their years of service with the university are engraved on bricks as part of a homecoming week here at MSU. MSU President Dr. Jay Morgan spoke during the ceremony.
Through this Memorial Brick program, MSU is proud to recognize the faithful years of service of all of our former employees who have passed on during or after their years of employment with the university. Today we are honoring 32 faculty and staff members who provided MSU a combined 426 years of dedicated service.
A full list of those honors can be found in the alumni section of the Moorhead State University website. The bricks will be laid along the walkway near the Little Bell Tower on the Moorhead State University campus.
There are still some finishing touches to be done, but the Moorhead City Government website is now live. Individuals can now go online to moorhead-ky.gov to get news and information from the city, as well as pay utility bills and report potholes. Mayor Laura White Brown gave an update during this month's regular city council meeting, saying there are other services to come.
They were waiting on one piece for people to be able to pay parking tickets online, but once that's up and running, it will be finished. So hopefully in the next few days it will go live and we'll send that to you all as soon as it is.
Those using the website can also review Moorhead City ordinances, as well as find rates and information on how to rent city-operated facilities.
The former Otter Creek Correctional Facility will reopen as the Southeast State Correctional Complex in Floyd County. The opening was announced this morning in Wheelwright and will plan to provide up to 650 beds in order to combat the overcrowding issue in state facilities. According to WYMT, the previous facility shut down in 2012 after a sex scandal. Kathy Kenny is a commissioner for the Kentucky Department of Corrections and says the facility will be similar to others in the area.
It will mirror all our other state prisons with regard to programming. We plan to have a substance abuse program there and other evidence-based programs as well. Additionally, we're going to have some vocational programs like carpentry and other things we hope to bring back to the community.
The Southeast State Correctional Complex is expected to open in early 2020.
More than 3 million Kentuckians now have the opportunity to enroll in or make changes to their Medicare coverage or employer-sponsored health plans. Medicare open enrollment opened Tuesday and will continue until December 7th. Changes made during this time will be applied to health plans in January of 2020. Paul Brophy with United Healthcare says the insurance company has a program called Navigate For Me to help with the process.
This program pairs people facing complex health issues with a single point of contact to help coordinate care, address claims issues, provide that support necessary to be sure they are going to the right quality provider and asking all the questions necessary.
Brophy says Navigate For Me is not available with all United Healthcare plans. He says it's also important to make sure prescription costs will be covered by any new health plans.
Republican leaders in the Kentucky Senate say one of the Democratic candidate for governor's often touted solutions for fixing the pension system is a non-starter in the General Assembly. WUKY's Josh James has more.
When asked about his plans to fund the state's flagging retirement system, there's one answer you can bet on from Attorney General Andy Beshear.
I believe that we have to create new additional revenue dedicated solely to our pension system. It starts with expanded gaming, where we could realize up to $550 million a year.
That sound courtesy of WKYT-TV. But weeks before Kentuckians even go to the polls to choose their next governor, top GOP leaders in the state Senate are making it clear that there's no appetite for that pension funding fix. In a statement, Senate President Robert Stivers and Majority Floor Leader Damon Thayer say expanded gaming is being sold as a panacea and that there is, quote, absolutely no chance any such effort would pass the Senate in an upcoming session. The Republican leaders also say the estimated revenue expanded gaming could produce has been drastically overstated and that the chamber will, quote, continue to develop legislation that creates a better economic environment for the cultivation of job opportunities, which will lead to more tax revenue. Beshear's father, former Governor Steve Beshear, unsuccessfully championed expanded gaming during his 8 years in office. In Lexington, I'm Josh James reporting.
The Benham community of Harlan County is facing a crisis as drought conditions cause a water shortage. Typically, the water intake pump supplies 250 gallons a minute, but now it is at 50 gallons a minute and dropping. Mayor Howard White tells WYMT the shortage has been going on for weeks.
Our water plant man is filling out the paperwork right now to send in to get permission to pump out of the creek. We've got water that's coming in, but we don't have enough. And we're working every day to try to fix it.
City officials are working with state officials on getting permission to pump from the river. White asks everyone to conserve as much water as they can until the city gets its levels back up to normal.
Following news of an Ohio coal company's possible bankruptcy, miners worry their pensions could be gone as soon as next year. West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin joined miners, both working and retired, in Washington on Wednesday, looking for relief from Congress. Manchin tells WYMT Congress cannot delay help any longer.
Didn't hesitate to bail out the banks, didn't hesitate to bail out the auto industry. And all we're saying is, can we at least protect the people who made America, the workers?
Miners are calling on Senate leader Mitch McConnell to schedule votes on bills like Manchin's, which are designed to save those pensions. In a statement, a Senator McConnell spokesperson said the senator is worried about the problem facing pension plans and wants to find a bipartisan solution.
The Kentucky Department for Public Health says more than a third of students haven't received the mandated hepatitis A vaccination. WMKY's Keneally Roberts has the story.
The Lexington Herald Leader reports immunization rates released on Tuesday show about 65% of the 209,000 mandated students have received the shot. The state's target compliance rate is 85%. Kentucky experienced a hepatitis A outbreak in 2017, prompting the mandated vaccination. University of Kentucky infectious disease pediatrician Dr. Sean McTeague tells WKYT the compliance lag is due to hesitancy regarding vaccines. McTeague says he believes it'll take at least 2 years to get everyone on board. For WMKY News, I'm Keneally Roberts.
We'll have a look at more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from Coffee Tree Books and the Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop, promoting literacy and reading in the MSPR listening area since 1978. Coffee Tree Books, where books are ordered every day and special orders can easily be accommodated, featuring a variety of gifts, cards, locally made crafts, and now a complete yarn shop. A community bookstore located at 159 East Main Street in Moorhead. The Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop and Coffee Tree Books are open Monday through Saturday, online, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
A former longtime employee at Mammoth Cave National Park in Kentucky has been sentenced to 2 years in federal prison for skimming money from the park's recreational fees. A statement from the U.S. Attorney's Office in Louisville says former employee Leslie Lewis took nearly $170,000 of funds collected from the public by manipulating the fee collection system and the employees she supervised. Prosecutors say Lewis created false deposit documents and used a duplicate check scheme to hide the theft. U.S. Attorney Russell Coleman says Lewis stole from one of the most iconic public spaces in the Commonwealth. U.S. Chief Judge Greg Stivers in Paducah also ruled that the 61-year-old Lewis must repay the stolen funds and spend 3 years on supervised release after her sentence is completed.
Johnson County investigators are looking into a shooting that occurred early yesterday morning. Misty Snipes was sitting on the porch of her home when authorities arrived to find her husband, Joseph Snipes II, dead with gunshot wounds to the chest. Neighbors Jerry Clements and his mother, Dosha, tell WYMT the news was startling.
Shots, I hear shots, and I've experienced.
It really shook me up. It was devastated.
The sheriff said they have not determined a motive at this time and no arrests have been made yet. Snipes' body was taken to the state medical examiner's lab in Frankfort.
A Catlettsburg man appeared in Boyd County Circuit Court for the first of three separate cases against him yesterday. The Daily Independent reports 40-year-old Joshua Phillips' first case is in regards to three Class D felony charges. They include second-degree escape, tampering with a prisoner monitoring device, and bail jumping. His second case for first-degree possession of a controlled substance has yet to be scheduled. The third case is in regards to an alleged sexual assault. Phillips faces charges of first-degree sodomy and first-degree rape. Both of those charges are Class A felonies, carrying sentences of 20 to 50 years or life in prison if convicted. Phillips is currently lodged in the Boyd County Detention Center.
A teacher at George Rogers Clark High School in Winchester has died. WYMT reports first-year special education teacher Rich McCoon died in a car crash near the Wolf-Breffett County line yesterday morning. The 49-year-old Jackson native was on his way to work when his car collided with a UPS truck. Witnesses say they saw McCoon's vehicle turn into the truck's path. The school district has made grief counselors available for the staff. Taking a look at your region's weather forecast. This afternoon, sunny with a high near 62. Tonight, mostly clear with a low around 39. Saturday, a 10% chance of showers, mostly sunny with a high near 69. Saturday night, a 30% chance of showers, mostly cloudy with a low around 47. Sunday, a 30% chance of showers, mostly sunny with a high near 71. Sunday night, partly cloudy with a low around 53. Monday, a 30% chance of showers, mostly cloudy with a high near 75. Monday night, a 70% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy with a low around 50.
Taking a look at current temperatures around the region, it's 63 degrees in Lexington and Inez, 64 over in Winchester, 61 in Ashland and in Grayson, and here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University, it's 63 degrees. On our feature segment today, commentator John Modaff ponders a word in current usage and finds a lesson in politics at its root.
Being a speech teacher, my ears always perk up when I start to hear a word more often, or hear it used in ways that flex its meaning. One such word lately is privilege. No doubt you've been noticing it too. White privilege, male privilege, economic privilege, systemic privilege, and on and on. But the profusion of the word and its derivations is not as striking as the change to its meaning, which used to include much more optimism. There was, we might say, the chance that privilege could be good, a good thing to give and to have. No more. Privilege has evolved into a devil term. There has always been some form of grant buried in its etymology, particularly under laws pertaining to individuals, or which affected individuals, to their benefit. The granting and receiving of privilege has always had this little taint, this nugget of unfairness, such as in the case when a road is widened, and one person gets more money from the state in the forced land sales. This is a law for the greater good, but it profits an individual, so privilege has occurred in its traditional meaning. And by the way, the road doesn't care whose yard it cuts through. This is just to say that sometimes privilege is the synthesis of law and chance, resulting in good luck. Other forms of privilege involve exclusivity. Not that all are eligible but few achieve, but rather, not all are eligible to begin with. This is the form of privilege that seems lately most offensive to people, and the one meaning of the word that seems to have taken hold in any and all cases of its usage. That's not fair, but being upset about exclusion is. and one need go no farther than a trip to Capitol Hill to witness some of the most exclusive and thus abusive forms of privilege known to Americans, while congresspersons of many varieties are busy complaining about the various forms of privilege they promise to combat. They themselves enjoy privileges no one else does, except perhaps the wealthiest and most powerful of their constituents and supporters. Here are a few. Special health care coverage and access that goes beyond Cadillac status. Nearly 100% freedom from the Freedom of Information Act. Overdraft protection at their very own in-house bank. Extraordinary levels of security and armed protection. A $600 million visitor center that functions mainly to keep the unwashed masses away from the legislators, immunity from prosecution during certain times of the session, and access to secrets at their own whim, even while doing what is still called, with a straight face, the people's business. If this were a privileged buffet, it would rival Golden Corral, to use an allusion that we, the riffraff, might comprehend. Congress is privileged beyond imagination, with discretionary money for staff, travel, accommodations, security, propagandizing, lovingly called franking. We haven't got time to get into all of it, but the next occasion you hear a congressperson railing on about this or that form of privilege, keep in mind that that is one privileged mouth making the noise. I'm John Modaff.
Dr. John Modaff is a professor of speech here at Morehead State University. It's 447 and 63 degrees here on the campus of MSU. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, here with Jonathan Burton and Chaz Jenkins. And we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio right here in the historic Breckenridge Hall. We're so glad that you've joined us on this beautiful Friday afternoon, and we hope to see you at homecoming this weekend. Ty Martin has a look at sports right after this timeout.
Support for MSPR comes from the Gateway Regional Arts Center in Mount Sterling. The public is invited to a screening of Love Them First, Lessons from Lucy Laney. Part of the Meet the Maker film series, discussion follows with directors Lindsay Sievert and Ben Garvin. Reception at the Gateway Regional Arts Center begins at 5:30 p.m. on Wednesday, October 23rd. Support provided by the NEA, South Arts, AA, and Mary Page Fund, and the Southern Circuit Tour of Independent Filmmakers.
It's homecoming weekend at Morehead State. For WMKY Sports, I'm Ty Martin. Morehead State football alum Jake Sutherland saw his name in the public eye this week as he was selected by the New York Guardians in the 2019 XFL Draft. The 6'5" Sutherland is a tight end who finished his MSU career in 2017. Eagles head coach Rob Tenyer says it's a great opportunity for Sutherland, and MSU fans will get a chance to see him in Morehead when he serves as the honorary captain for the homecoming game this weekend.
Jake, I knew after he graduated and after his career ended here, I really believed he had earned an opportunity to get a chance to play professional football. And, you know, he worked hard during that time. I know he played with the Atlanta team down there when they tried to start up the pro league a few years ago, and played in a few games for them. And then he got selected as part of the XFL draft.
Kickoff for the homecoming game Saturday is set for 2 o'clock at Jane Stadium. Festivities begin Saturday morning with the homecoming parade at 9:30 a.m. The Morehead State University soccer team has a pair of games this weekend. The Eagles are on the road this evening as they head to Tennessee to take on Austin Peay. Head coach Warren Lipka says it is going to be a tough matchup as both teams fight to enter the OVC tournament.
Well, I think we're both in the same situation. You know, we're both trying to get the postseason. You know, I have a ton of confidence in our girls. I really believe in them and what they've been doing. You know, it's two teams are fighting to get into the tournament in a couple weeks.
Game time this afternoon is set for 5 o'clock. The Eagles then have a quick turnaround as they head home to take on EKU for Senior Day Sunday. That game is set for 2 o'clock. The Morehead State volleyball team is back in action this weekend. They'll face off with Southeast Missouri tonight and travel to UT Martin tomorrow for a noon match. The Eagles are 14-5 overall and 5-1 in the Ohio Valley Conference play. Head coach Jamie Gordon says his team is relatively healthy going into tonight's matchup.
You know, those are the bumps and bruises of a season, and so it's nothing unique, and we'll manage those things. And you know, I think that's a really good sign of a team that compete for a championship are ones that can adapt to the different obstacles in front of them.
Tonight's match with the Red Hawks is set to begin at 6 p.m. Live stats will be available at msueagles.com. The Round County boys soccer team will face off with East Carter in the championship of the 16th Regional Tournament on Saturday. The Raiders took out Boyd County in tournament play on Wednesday 3-1, while the Vikings advanced with a 5-0 sweep of West Carter. Head coach Max Hammond says his team was mentally down coming into postseason play, but has bounced back with three straight victories and a district title.
We haven't given up a goal in those three wins, so that's really positive there. I would almost say that, you know, East Carter would be a little bit of a favorite over, so maybe we've got a little bit of an underdog factor there, but I think it's going to be a battle regardless. You know, I think we're going to get our chances offensively. We've just got to make sure we shut them down defensively and, you know, make sure that we have the right mentality as far as just giving everything we've got and putting everything we can into the game.
The Vikings and the Raiders meet at 6 p.m. at the Marvin Moore Athletic Complex here in Moorhead. The Round girls soccer team at Ashland Blazer will meet in the championship game of their 16th regional tournament on Saturday. The Kittens were able to beat the Vikings when they met in the first game of regular season play, 7-3. Head coach Alan Evans says Ashland Blazer may be the toughest opponent they meet this season.
They started our season with us a loss, so we like to end theirs with a loss, and so return a favor. It's going to be a very tough challenge. Ashland undefeated all season, ranked 6th in the state. You notice the high power team, lots of tools they have, and so it's our ability to pull off that upset. We have that home field advantage at playing on the turf. We're more used to it than they are, and so we do have the element of a small advantage there with the turf, and it's going to have to play at our highest level.
Game time on Saturday is set for 8 p.m., directly after the boys' championship game. And finally in sports this afternoon, Ed Beck, a fierce rebounder for Kentucky's 1958 NCAA championship team, nicknamed the Fiddlin' Five, has died. He was 83. The school said Beck died Wednesday in Sun City, Arizona. A two-year captain for coach Adolph Rupp, Beck grabbed 11.6 boards per game with 5.6 points on the school's fourth title squad. Beck was named Southeastern Conference Defensive Player of the Year that season. As a junior, Beck averaged 14.1 rebounds and 9.6 points to earn Associated Press All-SEC Second Team honors. His career average of 10 rebounds was Kentucky's third highest total at the time. Beck's leadership in 1958 was followed with a personal loss with the off-season death of his first wife, Billy, from Hodgkin's disease. He turned down an offer from the NBA's New York Knicks after graduation to enter the ministry and served there for over 50 years. Beck is survived by his wife, Faith, and four sons. Funeral arrangements are pending, and that's going to do it for sports. For WMKY, I'm Ty Martin.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Moorhead State celebrates homecoming this weekend. Football hosts Butler at 2 p.m. tomorrow, and soccer welcomes Eastern Kentucky at 2 p.m. on Sunday. Tickets and more information from the Eagle Athletic Office at 783-2089 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Markets fell sharply, weighed down by steep losses in Boeing and Johnson & Johnson. The broader market was also pressured by a decline in Netflix shares that led other big tech stocks lower. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a loss of 255.68 at 26,770.20. The S&P 500 was down 11.75 at 2986.20, and the NASDAQ Composite was down 67.31 at 8089.54. Boeing dropped almost 7%, its biggest one-day drop since 2016, on news that the company instant messages suggested that the aerospace giant actually misled regulators over the safety systems of the 737 MAX. Johnson & Johnson was down 6% after the company had to recall some baby powder upon finding traces of asbestos. Today's losses wiped out the Dow's gains for the week. The Dow Industrials actually finished with a loss of 0.2% for the week. So far, earnings season has gone well. More than 70 S&P 500 companies reported third-quarter earnings this week, and of those, 81% posted better-than-expected results. Some of the companies posting stronger-than-forecast results this week include Bank of America, Netflix, J.P. Morgan, and Morgan Stanley. Coca-Cola continued that trend, reporting good earnings today, and the stock actually rose more than 2%. Optimism around Brexit gave stocks a boost this week. The UK and European Union struck a long-awaited draft Brexit deal. British and EU officials reached the agreement after successive days of late-night talks and almost 3 years of tense discussions. And Prime Minister Boris Johnson will now attempt to persuade UK lawmakers to back his agreement ahead of what is expected to be a knife-edge vote tomorrow. In the commodities markets, oil was down 0.3% at $53.75 a barrel. Gold was down 0.25% at $1,494.40 an ounce. In Europe, stocks were down, with the Stock 600 index down 0.3%. And in the Far East, most markets were weak as well. The Shanghai Composite was down 1.3%, and the Hang Seng in Hong Kong was down 0.5%. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was U.S. Bancorp up 35 cents at 55.06, Lowe's up 22 cents at 112.82, Delta Airlines up 47 cents at 53.84, Marathon Petroleum up $1.10 at 65.19, and Anthem was up 38 cents, finishing at 249.63. Reporting from the Hilliard Lyons offices of Ashland, Kentucky, this is Bud Luke.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center in Moorhead. Located at 325 Triplett Street near the Moorhead City Park, the Community Recycling Center offers a 24-hour drop-off service for a variety of recyclables, including cardboard, aluminum and steel cans, one and two numbered plastics, books, newspaper, magazines, mixed and shredded paper. The Community Recycling Center is a partnership of the City of Moorhead, Rowan County, and Moorhead State University. More information at 784-1250.
Taking a look at your region's weather forecast for tonight, mostly clear skies, a low around 39 degrees. On Saturday, a 10% chance of showers, mostly sunny otherwise, with a high near 69. Saturday night, a 30% chance of rain, mostly cloudy, a low around 47. Sunday, a 30% chance of showers, but mostly sunny skies throughout the day with a high near 71. Sunday night, partly cloudy, a low around 53, and for your Monday, a 30% chance of showers, mostly cloudy skies with a high near 75. Taking a look at some events coming up across the region, the community is invited to Moorhead State University's 2019 Homecoming Parade, taking place on Main Street in Moorhead on Saturday, October 19th. It's part of MSU's Homecoming Weekend. The parade begins at 9:30 a.m., and the theme for this year's parade is Go for the Gold.
The First Church of God, located on Sunset Drive in Moorhead, will host a Trunk or Treat event from 5 to 7 p.m. on Saturday, October 19th. Elementary school-aged children 5 to 12 are welcome to enjoy candy, hot dogs, pumpkin patch, hay rides, fire trucks, and more, free and open to the public.
The Moorhead Theater Guild invites you to celebrate the Halloween season with Dining with the Dead, October 18th, 19th, 25th, and 26th. The three-part event begins at the Old Town Cemetery, where characters from Moorhead's past rise from their graves and share their stories. Dinner follows at the Rowan County Arts Center, and the evening ends with a ghost walk in downtown Moorhead. Tickets at 783-9857 or online at msmoorheadtheater.org. It's not recommended for children under five.
The Star Theater at Moorhead State University offers public planetarium shows every Saturday at 11 a.m. and 1 p.m. Each one-hour show features a full dome video presentation, followed by a star talk highlighting what visitors can see in their own backyards. Schedule and visitor information can be found at moorheadstate.edu/startheater.
The Moorhead chapter of the National Alliance on Mental Illness Support Group will meet at 6 p.m. on Tuesday, October 22nd at the Rowan County Public Library. Individuals with mental illness or family and friends with people with mental illness are welcome.
The Paramount Arts Center in.
That's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help today from Tanner Boyd, Joe Lewis, Greg Jenkins, Paul Hitchcock, Keneally Roberts, Chanasty Davis, Chaz Jenkins, Ty Martin, Sarah Mead, Nacogdoches Miller, and Zoe Hall. WUKY's Josh James, Hilliard Lyons' Bud Luke, and our feature segment today came from commentator Dr. John Modath. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, Kentucky. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Jonathan Burton and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.